In the name of Him who is the Word. The scripture that engages us today is the passage read earlier from Isaiah chapter 42. Currently in the theaters, there is a movie which has a single word as its title. That movie is titled Silence. It was produced by Martin Scorsese and is based on the 1966 novel by Japanese writer Shusaku Endo. And it's set in the 17th century in Japan. The main characters are two priests who travel from Portugal to Japan as missionaries. But when they arrive at Japan, they discover that Christianity has been outlawed by the ruling shoguns. And so the church is forced underground. This is the time of the hidden Christians in Japan. These two missionaries, though, are able to locate Christian communities and minister to them. But it isn't long before the missionaries and their Christian churches are located by the officials, by the authorities. And they are rounded up, they are persecuted, they are oppressed, and they are called on to renounce their faith in Jesus Christ. Those who do not are tortured and executed, martyred. And there's one particularly vivid scene in which Christians who refuse to renounce are crucified near the ocean at low tide. And as the tide comes in, the water rises, and very slowly they are drowned. The title of this movie is Silence. And there's a reason for that. The silence that is depicted here is the perception that God is silent, that He is not speaking, He is not hearing the cries of His people who are under oppression and persecution. They pray to Him, they plead to Him for deliverance, but it seems that He turns a deaf ear to them. There is only silence. In our text today from Isaiah chapter 42, the prophet writes to people who will be undergoing a very similar situation. He writes to those who will be undergoing the exile in Babylon, Jews who will be deported from their homeland, from the promised land to a foreign land, to Babylon, as POWs, slaves, those who are oppressed, persecuted. And during this time, they cry out to God, "Where are you? Do you not hear us? Will you not deliver us?" But there only seems to be silence. Two chapters before our text in Isaiah chapter 40, the prophet here identifies what these people will claim before God. They say, "My way is hidden from Yahweh. My right is disregarded by my God." That is, I seem to be hidden from God, and He is hidden from me. And He seems to disregard my estate, my condition. Silence, abandonment. And interestingly enough, even in our text, God admits to the same. In verse 14, God says, "For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept silent and restrained myself." A long time. The Hebrew word here is olam. Sometimes that's translated even as eternity. And no doubt for these people in exile, it seemed like an eternity that God had abandoned him, that he was silent. Today as well, sometimes God seems silent, uninvolved in our lives. We endure trials and tribulations. We undergo suffering and sorrows. We cry out to Him, "Lord, help!" And it seems that He doesn't answer. It seems that he is silent. It seems that he doesn't care that he has abandoned us. Peter DeVries, in his novel entitled The Blood of the Lamb, depicts the main character, a middle-aged man named Don Wonderhope, who has an 11-year-old daughter who has contracted leukemia. And she receives care in the cancer ward at the hospital, and this father would regularly go to the chapel and bow before the altar and pray to God to heal his daughter. Well, it seems that she's improving. The bone marrow treatment is working. She's getting better. In fact, the doctors say soon she'll be categorized as being in remission. But then a viral infection sweeps through the cancer ward, and in her compromised immunity, she contracts that infection and dies. And before the father is even notified of this, he is on his way to the hospital. He has a brightly colored cake to present to his daughter and celebrate her improving condition. Her name is even written in icing on the cake. And when he's confronted in the cancer ward with the news, in sorrow and shock, he turns away and returns to the chapel and ascends to the altar to the stone crucifix. And he takes that cake and flings it upon the corpus. Brightly colored icing drips from the forlorn stone face of the image of Christ. In your ministry, you will be serving people who undergo experiences much like this character, Don Wonderhope. They will think, where is God? Why doesn't he answer my prayers? Is he silent? And yet in our text, God promises that this silence, his silence, will be broken. In verse 14, again we read, "For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept silent and restrained myself. But now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant." The silence will be cleaved. It will be broken with God's voice, with his cry. And God goes on to describe his words and his actions, his promises to these people in exile in Babylon. First of all, he says he will bring judgment upon their oppressors, the Babylonians. The imagery is given here of a beautiful garden, a lush mountain that has turned into a wasteland, into a desert. Babylon, the city itself, was known for its lush landscaping, the hanging gardens of Babylon, which were designed like mountains with foliage on them, were one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. God says it's going to be made into a wasteland. But he has more to say. He says, I will return and I will restore my people and I will return them back to their land. And the imagery that he uses here is one of guiding blind people through the desert, through the treacherous terrain to their safe and secure home. They cannot see, but by his words they hear and are delivered. Today, the people that you serve or will serve are undergoing the dark night of the soul, the sense of God's abandonment, of his silence oftentimes. And yet, we can assure them, no, first of all, we can be assured that God hears. God is there. God cares. He does not abandon us. And how can we be sure of this? Because he has spoken definitively, supremely, in Jesus Christ. In many and various ways, God spoke to our fathers of old through the prophets, but now in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. The Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and we heard His words, the words of eternal life. Lord, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Oh yes, the world sought to silence this Word, and it nailed Him to a cross, and on that cross He gasped, and He cried out as a woman in travail, my God, why have you forsaken me? In order that He might not forsake us. For us, He was forsaken. His lifeless, silent corpse was taken down from the cross, placed in a tomb, the stone rolled against the entrance, sealed. All there was silence. Until daybreak on the third day. And then He burst forth out of that age-old prison. And He spoke to His followers. And what was the word He spoke over and over to them? Peace. Peace to you. My peace to you. And He continues to speak that word to us, to you. Peace to you. He brings peace in your travail. He brings peace in your trouble. He brings peace in your suffering. He brings peace in your sorrow. His word is a word of peace. And He promises, I will be with you always to the close of the age. He is not silent. He continues to speak in His word of Scripture, in His proclaimed word from the pulpit, in His word delivered through the mutual consolation of the brothers and sisters, He speaks. He is not silent, and He speaks through you. And by His word, He guides us. Although we may not see Him and we may not see His paths, we follow His word. He guides us. A couple of years ago, I participated in a father-son retreat with my youngest son, Benjamin, who at that time was 11 years old. And we did a trust exercise together. And Benjamin's on spring break, so I want to invite him forward. We're going to replay that trust exercise. He was blindfolded, and each of the fathers did this to their sons. And then the fathers would stand a ways away from the son and guide the son, who is blindfolded, by the father's voice, by the father's word. And so, Benjamin, why don't you take about three steps forward? Okay, you're right at the edge of a step, so take one step down, take another step down, take another step down. Now you're on the floor, so please turn to your right and walk forward. I'll tell you when to stop. Keep walking forward, walking forward, walking forward, walking forward. Walking forward, okay, now stop and turn about 90 degrees to your right. Walk forward. Keep walking, walking, walking. You can stop, okay. Now, step to your left about two steps to your left. And walk forward about four steps. Turn again to your right about 90 degrees and walk forward 3 steps. Turn again about 45 degrees, if you will, to your right. And take 1 step up. There's a step there. And to your left is something you can hang on to. And take 1 more step. And 1 last step, come up. Okay, and now keep coming forward. I'll tell you when to stop. Keep coming forward, forward, forward. Coming forward, you can stop. Okay, I'll take off the blindfold. What did you learn from that experience?
That I could trust where you told me to go, or else I could like run into a wall or something.
Yeah. Okay. So it's trusting the words of the Father.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you, buddy. You can go back. We may be not able to see the path God has for us, but we hear His word in Scripture, from the pulpit, from the mutual consolation of our sisters and brothers, and we walk, trusting His word. And so let us hear that word one more time from Isaiah 42. God says, I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. And He will not forsake you. Amen. We continue with the hymn.